So at the weekend, contractors working for Belfast City Council removed over 1,800 tyres from a bonfire at Lismore Street. Now, there was the usual concern over the toxic fumes from burning tyres, the danger to human health, both, of course, in the short and the long term. But there's also another issue, which is where do the tyres actually come from? On that particular bonfire, but any bonfire in general. If you're a car owner, you'll know this. You'll be familiar with the routine of going to a tyre company, paying lots of money, quite often for new tyres, but also having to pay for the disposal of the old ones in an environmentally friendly manner. There's usually a charge for that, and that's usually around £150 or so per tyre. Now, that tyre fitting company is then supposed to send those tyres for shredding, and at that point, they pass on the money that they charged you. But that's not happening, obviously, in every case. So are there some companies taking your money, keeping most of it and paying the bonfire builders to do their dirty work? Let's speak to the PUP leader, Billy Hutchinson, who's with us this morning. Good morning, Billy.
Well, Vinny, very, very well done there and how you described that. But I do think that it was the Northern Ireland Environmental Agency's job to remove the tyres, not the council.
In terms of how they get there in the first place.
Yeah, no. But I mean, I just want to make it clear that my understanding was that it was the environmental agency's job to remove them, and they asked the council, could they get them a contractor to do it? So I want to be clear, because I think that it's important that we understand whose responsibility it is, and it serves. That agency was set up to tackle crime in terms of waste, and as far as I'm concerned, I don't see much that they've done. But anyway...
To be clear, Billy, just as we start this, you know, we're not making any allegations relating to that bonfire at Lismore, but in general...
No, but I mean, I think it's important that people know.
Yes, and that's a fair point.
But my point about this is, in council, I've been arguing this for 4 years, that these people sit in their hands and do nothing. And they tell us that they don't have contractors, so the council allow them to take off their contract list, and then the council gets the blame. So the point that I'm making here is... that, you know, the decision about anything that happens around bonfires, unless it's on council lawn, is not our responsibility. It's the, you know, and in terms of tyres, I'm pointing this out, it's the environmental...
Okay, you've made that point. You've made that point, Billy.
But the point is, they're about as useful as an ice train and motorbike.
Right. Well, as the leader of the PUP, let's talk now about the tyres themselves. Where do they come from? Like 1,800, that's one example, one bonfire. You know, do we have any idea where these are coming from, and why no one can stem the flow?
Well, I don't know why people can't stem the flow, because they must come in lorries. You know, but bonfire builders don't roll these down the street, not in the amounts that they're there. So they're coming from companies. I don't want to name the area, but there was one example across Belfast where the residents reported the registration to the police of the lorry. It was found out that the lorry came from a company in County Londonderry. And the police said it wasn't their job, it was the environmental agency's job.
So in terms of following that up, I'm not aware of that, but you're saying that...
No, what I'm saying to you is that I was involved in this case. It was 3 or 4 years ago, and people were treated very, very shabbily by
And of course, I have no evidence, I'm not aware of that case,
well,
so let's...
Well, I'm 10 years...
Yeah, and I know, but on a live programme, let's not go down a route where I don't know any of the background too, Billy.
I'm telling you what I know as a councillor, and I'm telling you that these tyres were delivered in many, many tyres, more than there was in East Belfast.
And does that happen everywhere? You know, when you're talking more than a handful, more than a small trailer load of tyres, are there lorries pulling up to these things on a regular basis each year?
Well, what I can say to you is that I know that the lorry pulled up to this place. It was reported to the police, and they said it wasn't their job to deal with it. It was the environmental agencies. Residents gave evidence and evidence that it was there, took statements from them, and nothing else ever happened.
What are residents in the areas near these bonfires that do end up having tyres on them? What do they say to you?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for East Belfast, so I want to speak in general here, but people say to me that they don't really want the amount of tyres that are there. If they're dumped in that stage, they're concerned about the effects of the tyres. And Vinny, you know, what I would want to point out is that the area that actually were concerned about these tyres, there was high levels of asthma amongst young people, particularly children in primary school, and that was their concern. Now, you know, there was no correlation between what they thought was creating in the first place. It had nothing to do with theirs. But the point of it, this is that in working class areas, people have health problems, and some of those health problems are very clearly linked to the air pollution. And I think that, you know, we need to really be dealing with this. Now, my view about this is not about bonfire builders for me. This is about the people who actually deliver tyres, which they've already been paid $250 a tyre, they actually get rid of and haven't got rid of it. The other issue for me is, what is the Environmental Agency doing? It seems to me they sit on their hands and they do very little. Now, you know, the third fit thing for me is that in council, in terms of all the statutory agencies that sit around the table and complain about this and make decisions, none of them do very much. It's all left to the council. And I have to say that until, and I've argued this, until these other people step up to the plate, you know, the council needs to be saying to them, need to do that.
What we will do this morning, in fact, right now we are contacting the agency to see what they have to say on this. I do wonder, there's so much paperwork around everything nowadays, Billy, that, you know, you go and you pay for your tyre, your new tyre, there's some kind of reference to the fact you're charged for the disposal of the old one. And does that paper trail end there? Or is there no check then to see what happened to that tyre?
No,
where did that go? Because apparently a lot of these are shredded and used to make roads and the likes.
And I'm making the assumption that it doesn't end there. And I'm making the assumption that it wouldn't be too hard to find out where those tyres come from. They must be traceable, and if they're not, I am sure everybody knows, including the dogs in the street, who must be delivering them.
Why do the people that are building the bonfires, like this is their, quite often on their own doorstep, it's their community, it's in their area, why would they want to allow anyone to dump a load of tyres for an event, a cultural event, that they're going to then stand and breathe in the toxic fumes from?
Well, Finlay, I think it would, you know, in fairness to the bonfire builders, in fairness to them, if people are delivering this, they're going to take it. But we have to remember as well, you know, that people do think, and they believe this, that it's an attack on their culture.
To tell them not to burn tyres?
No. This is a retaliation against those people who or actually looks like that it's an attack. That's not what the council's about. Not from a union's point of view. You know, we need to deal with this. It's okay to have a bonfire, and it's okay for the cultural stuff around the 12th, but we need to do it in a safe way.
Yeah.
And I have to say that because people react like that, they play straight into the hands of Sinn Féin and others. You know, and, you know, people need to get a bit smarter.
What do you mean? People react like what?
Well, when people react with tyres and they react with putting bonfires, which are a threat to life or property.
But you do hear the contradiction there, Billy. If it's reacting to tyres, this is in the people that build these bonfires, it's in their own community. So it's on their doorstep. Finny, they're breathing these
fumes in.
Go ahead, Billy.
And I answered it. What I'm saying to you is that, you know, this is done out of anger. It's done out of frustration. It's not done in terms of, oh, we shouldn't be burning tyres. It's done because somebody else said that they can't. Now, the reality is that last year, in terms of the council, the unionist parties got together and we produced a paper where we had said that what we wanted to see, the celebrations around the 11th, was about the history of what really happened at that, you know, at that time in 1689 and also 1690. So, you know, we're saying we don't want to see tyres burnt. We're saying that we want to see better air pollution, and we're also saying, and we're very clear about this as unionists, this is not an attack on anybody's culture. That's not what this is about from our perspective, and we will stand up to those if they're trying to attack the culture. The reality is that we need to have this. Now, Finny, what I must say to you is that in terms of Belfast City Council, and in terms of the things that we look at it, you know, we have to say that the Bonfire and Cultural Expression Programme has had the highest number of applicants this year, a total of 35, and there's also 16 sites that are going to have beacons. Now, you know, when you think about that, there has been a change, a sea change through the Cultural Expression Programme, but others don't see it, and others think that, you know, and I don't see why they don't see it, you know. There's a handful of problem bonfires, and unfortunately they seem to be in the other side of the city in terms of East Belfast. Now, we need to work with those people to change it, but we also need to make sure that when there's work being done with those people by council officers, that we actually see a change in what they're doing around particular bonfires. That's what we need to do. Nobody wants to see people going in and removing these, but they, again, the council yesterday, which I'm not part of, the FPNR, have taken a decision, and they've taken a decision which they believe is rightfully the right one because it's to do with property. Now, you know, that's where we're at.
Do you believe that they shouldn't step in? Because there's a lot of frustration when the PSNI, for example, is present and they're there to...
I'm not saying that I don't believe they should step in. My problem is, what I'm saying is that there needs to be an explanation of the process. And I have to say to you that whenever, there's masked people getting in, and we know why they go in masked, because they're afraid, and that's the reason why they have to do it, to protect their identity. And we see the PSNI. Now, the difficulty is, and this is reality in this society. In this society, we look at what happens elsewhere. So at the same time last year, when officers were in East Belfast, PSNI officers, and taking away bonfires, we've seen shootings in Londonderry. And, you know, the police weren't as active then as they were against bonfires. Now, you know, what I'm saying...
You don't believe they were as active. That's about this time last year that was happening.
Yeah, exactly. And what I'm saying to you is, so what is the perception?
But my question is that your perception that the police were not as active? Were you up there?
What I'm saying to you is I wasn't in County Londonderry. I saw what I saw on TV. What I'm saying to you...
And you realise why I'm asking these questions. You're making that assumption from what you saw on TV, that the PSNI and their reaction...
Everybody makes assumptions. And that's, remember, the perception in a society is worse than reality.
Yes, but you're an elected representative, so maybe assumptions, we should be going a bit more than that.
Well, you know, sometimes we don't get much more than that. And it seems to me that quite a lot of people have made assumptions about all of this. What I'm saying is that we need to have proper bonfires, and there are a number of them across the city, and they're leading examples. And we would be asking for is others to do that same example and have a proper bonfire. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to explain why people are head up about this. And, you know, so from that point of view, that's what I'm trying to explain. I'm not condoning anything here. What I am saying is that there's a reality out there and there's a perception. Until people actually recognise that there's a number of ways of dealing with this.
What is the right way? Because
I've already told you.
Let me ask you the question though, John Kyle. And we've heard in recent days about the graffiti that was daubed on the walls that said, "If a vote for John was a vote for the IRA." Now, and he was trying to represent his community, the people that elected him into that position, and that was the reaction from some.
Yeah, and John was right in terms of what he was doing. And what I'm saying to you is that reaction is completely wrong, because if you read what was put on the wall about John Kyle, it couldn't be further from the truth. John was a GP, he's just retired. He's a GP for quite a considerable number of years. He knows what the health is.
Yeah.
In terms of what
why do you think that was a reaction from within? I understand that could be one person that daubed that on the wall, but why do you think that one person within his community felt that was appropriate and that was accurate?
Well, I mean, you see, here's the problem, and the problem is that whoever put it on the wall, irrespective of one individual or two individuals or whatever, they put that on the wall and it was an attack on John, claiming that it was a vote to the IRA. That couldn't be any further from the truth. I mean, the whole point of this is, if anybody was to read what the PEP stand for, they would know that that's totally different. And it's not about the IRA. And it wasn't a vote for the IRA. I mean, John feels, and I feel, that John was right. And John actually reacted to incidents that were happening in East Belfast. Unfortunately, no other person stepped up to the mark in terms of councillors, particularly those councillors who pushed hard for this. And the other thing about that is that I didn't see anybody else's name written on the wall. So, you know, the PEP have two members in council, and we will support what's right. And we will support what's right for our community. And what's right for our community is we need to resolve this. But that's make us very clear. You know, other people need to stand up and say what they're doing, and they don't seem to be. A lot of them are hiding behind this cloak, and they need to come out and say what they stand for. Now, you know, the reality is, the perception is that whenever people see so many councillors voting, they actually start to make their own assumptions. And part of that writing on the wall was one of those assumptions. They got it wrong completely about John Kyle. John Cale is dedicated to East Belfast and wants to make sure what he's doing, and that's why you get elected as a councillor. So from that point of view, he was accused in the wrong here.
What kind of influence do the PUP still have in East Belfast?
In terms of...
Well, in terms of being able to get their message through to their own community, the people that actually have voted for them.
Well, I mean, I think that that message has been getting out by everybody. I mean, I have to say that the DUP has worked hard in East Belfast as well, along with John, and the LCUs are working hard. So I'm not sure that anybody has any influence on what's happening because we haven't been able to change. So the game hasn't changed in the last 4 years. So I would say that that influence across the unionist perspective doesn't seem to be being heard. I'm not so sure in terms of whether you can influence people or not. You know, you can't make a blind man see, as they say. So from that point of view, we will continue to work at what we're working at, and we will continue to try to make sure that the other agencies who have the responsibility of cleaning this place up actually do their job.
Are you concerned in any way that some people in the area are turning to people like Jamie Bryson indeed for some kind of guidance as opposed to an elected councillor?
Well, I mean, people are entitled to turn to whoever they want. You know, Jamie Bryson has many, many followers, and that's their decision. You know, it's the same with politics. When you stand for election, people have a choice either to vote for you or not vote for you. I don't want to bring this down to individuals or groups of people. That's really up to others what they do. But I think that some of the bonfire builders, not some of them, most of them have listened and they've went down a path, and others haven't really heard the message.
Okay.
And I don't understand why they can't hear the message, Vinny, and that's important. But I think we need to work out why they can't hear the message.
Well, let's talk more about that, because I think many would agree that this year there do seem to be fewer issues than previous years, especially last year, although they do all seem to be focused in one area of the city. You represent North.
In terms of council terms, I represent West because the Shangle is seen as part of West. But anyway,
well,
let's say...
Fair enough. That's my mistake. But
no, you're okay, Vinny.
But why do you believe that it isn't an issue, say, for example, in your own area? Why is it focused in East Belfast?
Well, I mean, I think it in East... Well, sorry, in I have to give credit to people who are building bonfires in the West in terms of the Shangle area, the greater Shangle area. They seem to have understood what they need to do. For them in the West, and I can't speak to this because I don't know, but in the West, people are saying that they want people not to attack their culture, but to actually stand back and watch it and see what it's about. So they've taken this cultural thing. So there's been a number of organisations, community organisations and historical and cultural organisations in the West who have actually taken this attitude and are determined to do and work at the celebrations and try to keep them within parameters that people aren't going to complain or be concerned about.
I want to ask this, and I don't want it to sound flippant because I genuinely don't mean it to, but does some of it come down to money? We hear about different festivals. I can't remember who it was on the radio show a couple of days ago was saying, well, there's funding towards certain festivals in the Woodvale. There's again this year, there's a big event on.
Listen, Vinny, I hear what you're saying, and I've heard this in the council. Last year was the first time there'd been a festival. A number of us supported the groups to get the money. And it wasn't just July, it was also August in terms of
But is East Belfast losing out? That's the question asking.
Well, East Belfast didn't lose out. East Belfast will have a festival this year, is my understanding, run by Eastside. And last year, money was offered to East Belfast and it wasn't spent. No, it wasn't spent. So,
why do you think, I know I'm asking you questions you might not be able to answer, but why do you think that is? Surely if there's a chance to do something, have a central event that brings people together and gives them something to focus on, why would East Belfast not want that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you would have to talk to the organisers of that event last year and see what happened. But they didn't get to the starting line where others did. So others did go and get to the starting line.
And we're talking a lot of money here?
Well, we are talking about a lot of money, but it's more money in some areas than it is in others. But this year, it has been evenly balanced out. And we've had, for instance, in North Belfast, there's been a shore fest at Crusaders. It hasn't happened, but it'll happen this week. A lot of events have happened. They've had historical events. They've had discussions. They're doing some great work there, and they will continue to do that. And the same in the Woodvale. The Woodvale will have their events this week, and they will have a number of concerts and things again.
That's
what do you call it?
Bass Hunter and Sash?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Will you be going to that yourself?
No,
not a Sash fan?
No. I'm more into blues and jazz. So all of those events are great. And the one in the Woodville last year, I have to say, was fantastic in terms of the responses to people who actually got the, you know, got there, and the people after it. They all thought it was fantastic, and it was organized for children, teenagers and adults. And it was a great event. And I imagine, I know that Shorefest is going to be exactly the same. They're going to do have something good. And what you would hope for is that they build on that next year. But in fairness to the Shorefest one, they have been doing stuff around cultural identity. They brought people in to talk, and they've all been very good. Unfortunately, I was off last week. I was a few days holiday, and I was over in England, so I didn't get to them. But I know that some of the people who I talked to who did go to them went. And the same with last year. Woodville was great. Now, that's how we need to be celebrating this. I would imagine, in terms of Eastside, because they're a very, how would I describe it, well-organized, professional organization, they will do exactly the same in the East. So the council have worked hard at this to put that money out. Not everybody agrees with it, and I understand that, but the reality is that there was lots of success last year, and I think there'll be more success. In fact, I think if I'm right, there's one in the village as well.
Well, you mentioned beacons a few minutes ago. Would you encourage other bonfire sites and builders to move away from the traditional, or what we have at the moment, which is a lot of very large structures, towards beacons and things that are seen by some as being easier to manage, a bit safer, easier to control?
What I would encourage is that bonfire builders who are building bonfires actually recognise that they have to take into consideration that they are not building something which is, I suppose, going to damage life or property. That's the first thing. People have chosen beacons for a number of reasons, and they're quite entitled to. And I think that the reality is that the more people who actually want to take beacons, the better. They last for 2 hours, but the reality is I am not advocating that we do away with bonfires completely. As a bonfire builder in the Shankill when I was a child, and we probably knew nothing about environment or about damage to anything else, but we're very clear about it now. And I just think that, you know, whenever people organise their bonfires very well, the place is kept tidy, and you don't have to send, or people just don't come and dump. Because I have to say to you, in some areas that are close to where people come off motorways, they dump their rubbish, and it's not just bonfire material. You know, it's all sorts of material, and I think that that's, it's not fair on the communities that live there, because they have to drive through that dirt for at least 4 months.
Billy, stay there if you can. A few calls on this. 030 30 80 55 55. Let's go to John in South Belfast. Good morning, John.
Morning, fella.
Good morning.
Listen,
morning.
Billy Hudson, now you think Billy Hudson was a bit, you know, he was a bit fair, like, you know what I mean? But I have to say, he's no better than Brayson or Beattie, because he's on there and he's making excuse after excuse.
I'm not making excuses, John.
Hold on. That means speak. You're on there and you're making excuses about the bonfires. And you're
giving reason.
You're blaming environmental people. You're blaming everybody. See, at the end of the day, boy, dead simple. It's the bonfire builders themselves. That's the blame.
Okay, well, let's let Billy respond to that.
Well, okay, let's draw an analogy then. So those people who break into people's houses, it's not their fault, you know, or are you saying it is their fault, or where does the PSNI come in? We have organisations that are being paid millions.
Okay, John, let him respond. John, please, let him respond one at a time, and we'll bring you back in. Billy, go ahead.
Right, so what I am saying is that we have organisations who are being paid millions of pounds to actually protect people against waste crime, and they haven't done it in this occasion with towers. The point that I'm making is that all the statutory agencies or government departments that have responsibility must take that responsibility and not leave it to the council alone. That's my argument, John. Unfortunately,
and you know, some will counter that by saying if they weren't building those bonfires in the first place, that then it wouldn't be an issue. People wouldn't be bringing the tires to dump there.
Well, I mean, how far do we want to go back with this? You know, how far do we want to say, well, you know, look, the reality is that people build bonfires for a cultural reason. What I'm saying is there is no problem with it. What I'm asking for is that people make sure that they protect life and property and they don't pollute the
air. Okay. Well, there you go, John.
So what's wrong with that?
Why were they hiding all the tires? They were hiding all the tires under all the wood. Sure.
John.
And then they were burned out and they were all took away.
You're referring to the Avenil bonfire.
We're seeing the towers were took away. Fred, that's not the point. The thing is, if anybody's coming with a lorry load of towers, all I have to say to them is, lads, go away. We don't take towers. Something like that. Wood, go away. Do whatever you want with them.
That's not an argument, John.
Why do I not say that?
An argument, John. The person bringing the towers are acting illegal.
They're doing them. They're doing that. They're taking the towers.
John.
They're taking the towers.
Okay, but John, you do get the point that Billy's trying to make, which is that if you dump the towers there, you're the one that's breaking the law.
It's a criminal act.
Who's going to dump the towers for? They're taking the towers.
No, they're not taking the towers. You tell me that somebody took 1,300 towers. Did they roll them down the street? John, come on. This is
all about to do. Look, if somebody brought them in a lorry and a bomb
on
the river,
it's the responsibility of the company.
All they have to do is chase them. Don't let them dump them.
Exactly, John. There's no argument about that. Okay. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the people responsible are the people who brought the towers.
All right, John. John, thank you. James in North Down. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
Just a couple of points there. But Billy Hutchison was touching on the right way to deal with it.
Well, Billy's there. He's still there.
I want to suggest just to take out a bit more. Everybody seems to be dodging the issue, but this could be approached from a different direction. When you buy a tire, there's a government levy of £2.50.
Right.
And it's on the receipt. And not the £2.50 is for the tire retailer to dispose of that tire in an environmentally friendly way.
Yes.
So that's the start of a paper trail. If that tire retailer does not dispose of that tire, he's guilty of fraud. He has taken £2.50 off a customer and he's not disposing of the tire. He's putting it in a lorry and he's giving it to a bonfire site.
He's not disposing in the way that he charged the customer for.
No, so therefore that is a fraud.
Well, that's the question I asked earlier, James.
James, that's what I said at the start of the show. I don't know why you missed the start.
I was listening to you. I outlined
that, and that is this is the premise of what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know, the organisation who are responsible for environmental crime is the Northern Ireland Environmental Agency, and they have not done anything about this, John. So the point that I was making was that my understanding as a councillor in Belfast City Council was that the NIEA don't have anybody to take the tires away, so they had to get us. Now, that may be very clear about this. There was a dump, an illegal dump, and the environmental people, this was a number of years ago, and the environmental people said it had grossed $65 million, right? Now, who took that rubbish away? Because it was an illegal dump. And people who owned the illegal dump made $65 million.
Billy, can you just clarify for me, when you refer to the Environment Agency and the fact that they've said to you that they don't have the resources to take this away, so we have things right.
Sorry, the council, senior management team and council have told me that they don't have that.
But I'm just, as in the Environment Agency don't, I'm just trying to make sure I have this right.
What I'm saying.
The Environment Agency are responsible for this, but they don't have the ability to rectify, to go in there, to clear up when they need to?
Well, that's what they're saying to the council, and I don't believe that.
Well, we're going to go and ask the Environment Agency this morning, so we'll see what they have to say.
So the point about it is, they asked the council to use one of their contractors to remove it. Why could they not use their own? And this is my point, Vinny.
Okay.
And it's the very point that the last speaker just made. It's illegal, and it should be stopped. And
there's still a basic principle that I would like to see the PSNI investigating why I was paid £2.50 for that tire it was disposed of and the tire dealer pocketed.
Well, there's a good chance that yours didn't. You know, we're not saying this happens everywhere, but we're saying if the tires in this number are appearing in bonfires, 1,800 for example, you know, it's not just the odd person that took their tire off themselves. You know, that's a lot of tires.
A quick inspection of the bookwork of these tire retailers will show.
James, thank you. David in Belfast. David, go ahead.
Come to you from the point of view of a firefighter for over 30 years dealing with bonfires at this particular time of the year. The thing that concerns me is the fact that... Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Sorry. The thing that concerns me is the fact that these bonfires normally appear a couple of months. Either somebody from the Environment Agency or the people that own the land should call the Environment Agency.
We're losing your line there, David. It's not great.
Can I just say something, Billy?
Yes, Billy.
What David has said, because I got the gist of it. You know, one of the realities is that the fire service, you know, do a tremendous job to keep people safe. around bonfires. They give out information prior, and they tell people whether they think it's too big and whether it's unsafe. So there's no question. The fire service, I have to say, are the organisation who keeps people safe, and they've always been open and honest with councillors when they're questioned. And my understanding is that they're one of the organisations that plays ball within the statutory agency. So there's no, you know, I think that the problem with all of this is around some of the legislation that prevents people from doing X, Y, or Z. And people need to tell us. If we have an environmental agency who can't even get a contractor to go in and move stuff, how did they move a $65 million out of an illegal dump? Because somebody had to remove it.
Well, Billy, like I said, I'm not aware of that. We have gone to them. We'll leave it at that this morning. Billy Hutchinson, the PUP leader, thank you very much for your time.